Still thinking about your question.
You any closer to an answer?
I feel like I've been fighting for this relationship ever since I met Felicity. I'd get her across the line and we'd just come up against something else. But that's what we've always been about.
I'm not sure I'm following.
Pain in the marriage. Not the same thing.
Package deal.
Can't separate them. At least I can't anymore. It's not like we didn't try. It just wasn't enough. I have to face up to it.
So maybe you do know what you want.
There's no way back. Our marriage is over.
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
I was reading an article today, Sophie. Now this, you know I'm all about fascinating facts.
Yes.
Did you know the wolves of Chernobyl? Mm-hmm. they are now resistant to cancer, which I thought was just what? I read that like about half an hour ago before I came on air.
Did you read it or was it on TikTok? Come on, be honest.
No, it was on Real News. Real
wow. News. So yeah. Is this because of the whole nuclear fallout thing then?
Yeah, they've managed to mute because obviously, yeah, it's all cancer inducing, isn't it? Yeah, they've managed to adapt and become immune or resistant to cancer. That's mad, that just blew my mind. Mm.
Oh, it's sad though, because that means that some scientist is going to want to go and put them up, which makes me sad.
Yeah, that's true. See, it's highbrow here sometimes. Highbrow. Are you okay? Are you okay?
I wasn't expecting Chernobyl wolves, I'll be honest. But yeah, I'm good, thank you. Are you good?
I'm okay, thank you, yes. I'm doing as good as a Chernobyl wolf today.
They're doing pretty well, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. all up to date on the old homers.
Of course.
Obviously compiling things ready for this episode, and I'm looking at my notes thinking, gosh, there's lots of spinning plates again. You know, some weeks we have some very clear themes, don't we? Two sort of blocks going on. This week I've got a bit going on here, you know, a few things, so.
Yeah, lots of little things going on, isn't there? Yeah.
Mm. But enough to keep you interested. I've not been disinterested.
No.
When it is. So, yeah. Any plans for the weekend?
Yes, I'm going to go to Wrexham tomorrow to see my busy mate, Beth. I don't think she listens to the podcast, but I'll still say hello. Hi, Beth. and we're going out in Chester tomorrow.
Lovely.
A few drinkies. Yeah, what about you?
I'm staying home. I'm not going out for any few drinkies. Yeah. Not as exciting as yourself. And I'll be here listening to podcast.
Of course. Yeah, well, there's no better plan, really, is there? Staying in, keeping warm and dry. You know, it's not been great weather-wise this week, has it? Let's face it. So,
go in.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had any snow here. I've had like rain and slush, but I've seen snow on the old news. Other people have had it. Have you had any then?
It snowed all day Thursday. Yeah.
Did it? Oh,
gosh. Yeah, but it was all like wet snow. It wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
That's the kind of snow I can get on board with.
Yeah, the kind that doesn't disrupt your whole life. Yeah.
Yes. Speaking of disrupt your whole life, we've got a busy week if you're a Coastal News listener this week. But you've got this one, this main episode, as always, like clockwork on a Saturday. You've got your usual first look if you're that way inclined and you want to look ahead on Sunday evening. But also this week, you've got an extra bonus episode. For our sins, we are going again with another round of our versus battle with the Neighbourhood Rewatch, aren't we? So That will be with you on Wednesday, which is a very important day for all the lovers out there. It's Valentine's Day. So, of course, we're doing best couples. So,
yeah.
Who's got the best couples? Who are your favourite home and away couples and neighbours couples? You'll be able to vote. Listen to the episode. It's a good one. And that'll be with you on Wednesday. So, lots going on. Life disrupting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
lots of content.
Out of routine there.
Yes, absolutely. Would you like your headlines?
I would. Yes, please.
Mac undergoes major surgery following her heart attack. Mr. Stewart fights for John to save his job as surf club manager. Leah falls asleep at the wheel, leading to a confronting conversation with Justin. And Eden worries that Cash has all his priorities wrong. Bless him.
Please take the time to like, subscribe, and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts, and ensure you never miss an episode.
Now, I haven't prepared a lyric in a minute this week because I'm not sure there's a minute's worth. We were talking about it, weren't we, yesterday? Mm. Is there a minute's worth of stuff? And there isn't really. Kirby's paying for the studio time with that $8,000. There you go.
Yeah, that's about it. I can't think of anything else. Obviously, there's other things going on because there's stuff with Remy and Brie and there's stuff with Cash and Eden. But in terms of the band, they did like a rehearsal and then, you know, she the guilt money for the recording. That's about it.
Yeah, and we're down for that. We're cool with that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's not all about lyric, guys. It's safe to come back some weeks.
Yeah. There was a song that they were.
It was. 4, 5, 6. Pick up your sticks. What was it? I can't remember.
Then we do it all over again.
7, 8, 9. Don't drink wine. I don't know. I can't remember the lyrics, but
go and check out our socials. The music video has just dropped.
Yes.
Big Bird. Yeah.
Yes.
That was good fun. That was a good giggle. So, that's all we've got for you. So we'll leave it at that. And we'll talk about Harper hanging around Tarny like a fly around short. Oh my God. I don't mean to pry, but I will anyway. You're like, oh God, rack off. Mm. Well, he does tell her to actually, doesn't he? Not so many words, but just follow him around the gym like a lovesick puppy. I'm really uncomfortable with this. Tell me your thoughts. He basically says to her, you're a valued member of the gym, keep it that way. But I'm lying. Her and Dana had them sort of scenes, didn't they, where they were looking on at him a few weeks back, doing classes, going, ogling him. And now she's like signing up to all his classes. She's suddenly a gym freak. Like, she loves the gym. She's talking about it to anyone that she sees.
Mm.
And she's getting all up in his biz, isn't she?
Yeah.
I'm a social worker. Speak to me. And I'm thinking, now do you? When I was watching, do you know, I was out at crying like I was supposed to. I've realised I've not even told you because I normally tell you everything. You know that trend on TikTok? Someone says, like, I'm a whatever.
Oh, yeah,
That's what this is about. I'm a social worker. Of course I'm going to take my kids off you. I'm a social worker. I'm a social worker. Of course I'm overworked and overpaid. Yeah. I thought we were going to have one of those TikTok trends. Because I'm a social worker, tell me everything. I'm like, no. What are you feeling about this?
Yeah, pretty much the same as you, really. I mean, it was actually Dana that was ogling Tane the other week when they were watching him outside taking a class or whatever, because she was the one going, oh, yeah, he's pretty nice. Maybe I'll sign up for the gym. And Harper was like, she knew that she was stood next to his wife, so she didn't say as much.
That is true, actually. Yeah, let's talk pedantics. You are true. It was Dana. Yeah.
She wasn't as vocal because she was sort of like, she was waiting for Dana to put her foot in it, I think, and then she could laugh and say, ha, that's his wife, because that's basically what happened.
Yeah.
So that was quite funny. But I mean, last week I was saying, where are Tane's friends? He doesn't seem to have any because he's only got Flick. He's only got Cash, and Cash only cares about Flick. He's not really going to go out of his way to look after Tane, because he's, you know, even if he wanted to, his priorities with Flick, isn't it? So I was saying last week, like, who can be there for him? Who's going to look after him? Who's going to be his shoulder to cry on? Always, like, that's why he was going out, you know, clubbing on his own, picking up women and all of that, because he didn't have anybody else to spend any time with, really, that wasn't going to be, you know, Flick's friend or Flick's brother or whoever. But I didn't expect Harper to be the one to, you know, offer the shoulder to cry on. I do think it's a bit random. I mean, he did say to her a couple of times, like, I don't even know you. We're strangers. And like you said, he tried to put boundaries down and say, you're a customer, you know, let's keep this professional, please. But then it didn't last very long. She just kept badgering him, didn't she? And I just thought, just bog off. Like, you've been told.
I know.
You've been told. I mean, I'm mixed about it, because in a way it's nice that he's got someone to talk to, and he has opened up to her eventually. But she got told to bog off several times before. I don't know. I think I would have backed down before she did.
And what is it that's making her not? It's not because she's a social worker. Is
no, because she keeps saying, I'm not a counsellor, yeah. I'm a social worker, I'm not a counsellor, they're not the same thing. Mm-hmm. So she's making a point of saying, like, I'm not a counsellor. But what is she doing then? Why?
Exactly. I think she's nosy. I think she's the goss, personally. I think she's seen an eligible bachelor in the making, soon to be.
Yeah.
And I think she's, if she might be doing it for her sister, not for her own gain, you never know.
Yeah. Maybe.
But it's not sitting right. It's not sitting right. And I'm glad it's not with you, because I think she's overstepped the mark away.
I just think you'd go away eventually, but she didn't go away. And I thought, maybe if it was me and he'd said to me, like, oh, you're a customer, keep it professional, I probably would have gone, yeah, fair enough. I walked away then. And then maybe he would come to me then and say, oh, sorry about earlier, I was a bit cranky. Actually, I could do with a beer and a talk or whatever. And if he didn't come to me, that's fine. But if he did, then I'd say, yeah, sure, let's go for a beer. But she didn't. She just kept going, oh, are you coming for a drink? And he'd already said no, like 2 seconds before that.
No.
If it was a bloke harassing a girl that had just been broken up with someone, we'd all be going, oh, what's he playing at?
Some would say he was being as clear as Flick was about children.
Well, I was just going to say that, because when they were talking, I did get triggered. When he eventually opened up to her and sort of said, I found the pills, you know, she turfed a bag out of the table, saw the pills, she's lying to me. And then he said something like, you know, when I took my vows, I meant it. I thought that was forever. You know, and I was thinking, is he going to at any point say that what happened was that Flick had several times told him she wasn't interested in having kids, and that he'd accepted that when he took his vows? He knew that when they got married. Is he going to explain that to Harper? No, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's like leaving out some of the key facts. Of course she's going to be on his side, because she's only hearing his side, and his side is not very accurate, Tane. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You actually touched on this last week. I don't know if you remember, because you know, you were saying, like, of course, if all you see as an onlooker is Felicity's behaviour, you're going to be like, oh my God, woman.
Yeah.
You know? And this is a similar sort of situation. She's seen Flick, you know, and Tane in public, which hasn't been great.
No.
And she's got, all she's got is Tane's work, because he does open up to her eventually. They do that walk, don't they?
Yeah.
They stare at the sea and open up their, open up their hearts, which I thought was a nice scene, actually. So he does end up telling her something. I think it's good for him in the sense that he's spoken to somebody, because he hasn't got many we've spoken about before. He hasn't got many people left in the bay to turn to.
No.
But you're right, her perception of it is going to be warped, and there are sides. And arguably, which we've argued in and out now for 2 months, if not longer. You know, the other side is not all that bad, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something like, I feel like I've been fighting my whole marriage, or I've been fighting for my relationship or something.
Since
like that.
The start, it's been a fight, this marriage.
Yeah. And I thought, you've been fighting Flick. Because she told you she didn't want to get married, and you fought her to get married, and, you know, she flip-flopped back and forth between wanting to get married and not wanting to get married. But, you know, he kept saying, like, he kept sort of doing the emotional blackmail thing, like, oh, well, I see marriage in my future. And she was like, oh, shit, well, I see you in my future, so I guess we have to get married. And then now it's been, I don't want kids. I've told you I don't want kids. Told you that when I got married. And now he wants kids. And now he's like, oh, I see kids in my future. And if, you know, if there's no kids in our future, then we haven't got a future. And again, she's had to go, oh, right, okay, well, in that case, I'm going to have a kid because I'm going to lose my husband. So I just think, yeah, you have been fighting for the relationship. And there has been some genuine times when, you know, she's gone off the rails and he's had to fight to keep them together and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But he's been fighting her decisions and who she is and trying to change her for the whole time that they've known each other.
Yeah. Do you know, considering that just listening to you there is making me think the compatibility was obvious from the beginning. We were going to end
it
up
was.
In space. But yeah. I've not felt like that with them. I've really got invested with them. But, like, we're reflecting now, aren't we?
Yeah. I think we did talk about it. You know, when they got engaged ages ago, when she was flip-flopping and like, oh, I don't know whether I want to get married. We did talk about it back then, about whether they were really, really super compatible. But because the wedding went ahead and because they seemed happy, I think we got on board.
Yeah. Right, okay. Mm.
I do remember us having a conversation where we were like, oh, is this a good idea? You know, is she just doing it to keep him? I'm sure we had that conversation just before the whole wedding.
Right, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, there were all these signs, weren't there? Didn't want to get a dress. That's it. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah.
Didn't want to fit the dress, did she? And then obviously, the you know, they ended up in the petrol station and you're like, oh, God, everything's telling you not to do this.
Mm.
Yeah. It's all coming back to me. But I'm just reflecting back now, thinking, well, God, it's so obvious. Why did we fall for it?
I know. Well, they did sort of suck us in, because when she did decide to go all out and just get married and enjoy it and just embrace it, it was really believable. And we were like, okay, well, she's changed her mind. Fair enough.
Yeah. But the chemistry, isn't it? The actors.
But it's now a pattern, isn't it? Because that was the first decision that she's been really, really, you know, ever since they got together. I'm not a marriage girl. I'm not a kids girl, blah, blah, blah. And that's the first decision she's rolled over after some pressure from him. But now there's a pattern there. And now it's like, oh, this feels different now.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm.
Hey, dear me, let's see what's next in store for them. Hey.
Can't wait.
Yeah, you and everybody else. So, no change with Mac this week.
No, yeah.
Irene can't get her head around all this. You know, someone so young.
Mm.
And Dana's telling them all about the new heartthrob doctor. Dr. Dish, leave my father there. Now, Harper recognised...
Dana recognized.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, that's why I paused him when I said Harper. I've said something wrong. Dana's like, I recognize him. Didn't she? She let on, but nothing was really said at that moment.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. And then you're like, what's going on here? It was in first look as well, wasn't it? Like, oh, she meets the next one. Is the history here? And my mind's racing here, thinking, oh, good. And eventually, when they recognise each other in the lift. Now, that lift has seen some action, so I was thinking, what's going to happen in this lift?
Did you see a kiss or an inappropriate kiss in that lift?
Yeah, I thought, oh, it's going to come.
Do you remember the Tory kiss?
Oh, God.
That was so awkward. Oh, dear.
Turns out they just knew each other from St. Christopher's.
Yeah.
And
where she was the drug nurse.
Yes. And she's like, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. And he's like, oh, you know, I don't listen to gossip. And you're like, of course you listen to gossip in a hospital.
Well, he said, I didn't listen to gossip. And then he was like, yeah, everyone was talking about it for weeks. It's all people spoke about. I was like, well done, making her feel better.
No, it was like, just, but what was nice was he wasn't judging her. Well,
no.
But at the end of the day, look, legally, she's been cleared. She's off, charges are off. So whatever he says or thinks about it doesn't really matter. She's there. Yeah. She's allowed to be there. And she seems to be proving herself as a nurse. Anyway, she seems to be doing a good job.
Yeah.
But, you know, he finally makes time to actually see his patient, Mac. You know, he's there just for her and her alone, this heart specialist. And when she wakes up, And he tells her, oh, you've had a scat. I thought, blimey, heck. I thought, lunchtime. I said, don't tell her that.
I thought he was scared.
I've never seen that scat. Oh my God.
He's scared. He said it was spontaneous coronary artery dissection or something. Scat's funnier though.
Are you going to give another heart attack?
I'm a scat man. There's an earworm for you.
But it said, don't worry, you've scatted, but it should be okay.
You scat the bird.
You've got your whole life ahead of you to scat.
Scat the bed, Mac. I'm sorry. Poor Mac.
Oh, I can't believe me is. Well, clearly I heard it wrong.
I'm dying. I love it.
Flick's worried about it, though, isn't she? She's back at work. She's worried about it. She's asking Marley if there's any news. And Marley's all, you know, she's old enough, you know, are you taking, you know, and she's asking, basically, she's asking Marley how Mac is, but actually she wants to swiftly talk about Tane and get the news on Tane, who lives with him now, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So the motive of the conversation quickly turns to, is he looking after himself? You know, he's always drinking and hooking up with girls. And you're like, shoot it down, Marley, which he did. Marley's been really great with this, I think. He said at the beginning, didn't he, you know, I'm having nothing to do with it. He's ended up dragged into it because he's literally been brought into his lounge room. And then when he's being tested like this, he sort of says, he distances himself. He doesn't put himself in the action. I think that is a really mature way of dealing with it, to be honest. I think he's really shone.
Yeah, he's done well. I think it's a horrible position to be in. And I like the fact that he went and told Tane as well. He was like, she's up there. She's been asking about you, but just FYI. Because she said a really weird line, which I didn't agree with. And she said, like, I'm his wife. I have a right to know what he's doing. And I was like, no, you don't. You're separated. You have no right to know what he's doing. You're separated.
So that's true.
I was like, no, you don't. You don't get and if you did, Tane would tell you. You don't ask his friend or his flatmate or you get the information from him. And if he doesn't want to tell you, that means it's none of your business. I got my back up about that a bit. I was like, no.
Last week Tane was really doing me. I didn't this week she is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're both as bad as each other at this stage.
Oh, they're both wrong. Absolutely.
Yeah. I do like Marley says some really good things, like he plants seeds and walks away. So, you know, like he's talking to Tyler, don't go upstairs for a beer because, like, you know, she's like, oh, well, I don't care. And he's like, well, she still does because she's asking after you. You know, making them walks off and makes him think something. They do that in soap, don't they? They say something really thought-provoking and then leave the room. Like, you never do that in real life.
I'd love to do that. I'd love to say something really ominous and then just, like, exit the room.
I know. Another one I'd love to do is just, like, not say bye on a phone call.
They never say bye, do they? Not even a catch you later. It's just like, okay, I'll do that. Hang up. What?
red button, like, rude.
You're there going, hello. How rude. Yeah, the ominous mic drop, room exit. I'd love to do that in real life.
Yeah. But they work in the same building, Sophie, so they're going to bump into each other eventually, aren't they? And it doesn't take long. And she's all apologetic, you know. I know it was unforgivable what I did and it's impossible not to love you and please say it's okay. And he's like, yeah, what you did was unforgivable. And he just walks off and just like,
yeah.
I'm on like 3 weeks down the line now where I said Tane probably needs to swallow a bit of his pride and just sit down and talk with her. And I'm getting a bit frustrated now. And I thought I was going to get it here. Even if it wasn't right away.
Yeah.
Even if it was like, you know, first off, dismiss her. Second off, right, let's go and have a walk on the beach or something. Like, I need it. And I think I'm about to, I know, are you still on the camp that you need space first before?
I just think he's far too angry to have a conversation. I think any conversation.
From that phase, is he? Yeah.
Yeah. I think any conversation they have, he's just going to blow up and say something probably horrible. Maybe not undeserved because they've both been awful, but I think he would regret whatever came out of his mouth, and it wouldn't help. It would just make things spiral, make her go, you know, worse. I still think the way he's holding himself, the way he's walking around the set, you know what I mean? It makes him look like the Hulk. He just looks like he's in a really, really bad mood. And like the next person to piss him off is just going to get a smack in the face. And just think, he needs to... I know. He's just too angry to have a conversation and be civil and be, you know, I don't know.
I'm just like imploring him because I'm like, he is a much more compassionate person than this.
He is like, normally, yeah, but it's like the camel, you know what I mean? He's been through so much and we've never ever seen him break. He's like almost died two or three times since he'd been on the show. One of them was because of Flick, actually, you know, the whole stalker thing when he got poisoned, and that was her mate, wasn't it, that was obsessed with him.
Oh yeah, so, the gas thing.
And, the gas attack, it was Anne, wasn't it? And she kidnapped them and tried to gas them again and all that stuff. I've never seen him get like angry or agitated or like he is now. You know what I mean? For days and days on end with that face walking around, like his shoulders all hunched forward, and he's like, he's just angry with the world. Mm. And I think this is just like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I think he needs to get past that somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm getting to the stage of saturation with it. I really am.
Yeah, I think he just needs to go and see the Farno and like just chill out in New Zealand for a couple of weeks.
Stick thing.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. Or go and see Nico, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Get out of the bay and not keep going out shagging women just to try and distract himself, because he's not dealing, you know, he's saying he needs space, but then he's not actually dealing with the problem. He's not getting out of his own head. He's not thinking, how does he feel? He's not getting himself ready for a conversation. He's just stuck in angry mode.
Yeah. Yeah. And not, yeah, you're right. You're right. And it's bugging me. It's bugging me that he's not moving from angry mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's ready to talk, isn't she? But again, she's the one begging for forgiveness, so of course she's going to be ready first, you know. He's when he was talking to Harper, you know, and he was saying, I've had to do a lot, I've had to forgive a lot, I can sort of see that sentiment.
Yeah.
But this also can't go on forever.
No.
Like, you know, she needs to know if it's not happening. I feel like the water is getting muddier and muddier as we go on. Mm. And each podcast we do, I'm just like, oh, I can't believe this has happened this week.
I know.
Right, Alf, he's had a call. Silly Surf Club committee business, he says that it is. It's giving him the trots.
Just tell me Mac something must else.
Mac must have had the same call.
Oh no, he's got the scat as well. Does that mean something else in us? The trots.
I hope so.
Because it means diarrhea, right here, I think.
Yeah, you've got the trots, you've got an iffy tummy, haven't you?
Because he was so funny, that whole scene, he was like, oh, this surf club stuff's giving me the trots. And then Rue goes, let's have some cake. I was like, I don't think she understands what the trots is. I don't think cake is going to fix it, you know.
It must be something else. It must be something else.
I don't know.
It must be a thong situation.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, we don't wear thongs on our feet over here. No, definitely not. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got the trots, and this phone call is getting it. It's about this complaint with John, isn't it? Now, we were saying last week we didn't think that apology phone call was legit. I don't think I'm still any wiser about that. But it sounds like John's in a bit of bother here because guess who Banjo is?
Only bloody Simon Henderson's kid.
And where do you know that name from?
I've forgotten.
Something about Yabby Creek Realtor or something.
Some sponsor, isn't it?
Real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He owns some company that I'd never heard of. And I've forgotten the name of.
That was almost smooth.
I can't remember.
I think
it's... What are you going to say? You think it's what?
Something really plain, like Summer Bay Real Estate or something.
Yeah, it was... I can't remember. But I did have a bit of a moment, because they went, oh, Simon Hurt. And I was like, say Hampton. And then he just went Henderson. And I was like, close enough.
Simon Henderson, a big shot about town, lots of money. He pumps a lot into the surf club. Of course, Banjo's his son. And like all spoilt brats, he's gone running to his father. That's going to obviously cause a lot of trouble, because now the committee are in a spin, aren't they? Mm. He's threatening to, get John sorted out, or he's going to pull the funding, and then that's going to cause lots of big problems for the surf club and its services. So, bless Alf, right? He's trying to do the right thing here, isn't he? Mm. So, at first he doesn't know how to talk to him, and then that happens to be the day that John's bouncing around telling everybody what's past, what great job he's got, and you think it's awesome.
I love it.
Sun is shining, I've got the best job in the world. God, Alf's gonna have to tell him. He takes him, gets him a coffee, doesn't he? Takes him for a walk. Thank God he gets him a coffee, because they're $4.70 now for John. And takes him for a walk, and he tells him, and good on Alf, he said, look, I've got your back. Don't worry, just keep a low profile. And John, and I can't fault him for it, he wants to defend himself. He's like, look, I'll ring him up, let me speak to him. And he's like, you're best staying out of it. Pull your head in, this is serious, Alf tells him. Mm. But, well, of course he's serious. He's worried for his job, Yeah. I don't think John disputes the seriousness, when he learns the full truth about the complaint and who's involved. Irene's like, don't worry, Dal, storm in a teacup. But he knows it's the biggest sponsor. He works there. He knows the deal, doesn't he? And he's trying to get in on this committee meeting all week. Yeah. And he talks it through. Alf makes it talk, Irene talks him into sort of going, trying to charge in the meeting. Alf's losing his rag at him, saying, you're making it worse. It was all becoming a bit melodramatic, but I can understand why John was a little upset that he couldn't go in and defend himself. Surely they'd hear him at a committee meeting, surely.
Yeah, it's a bit weird that he didn't get to say his side of the, the story, really. It's a bit odd. I guess Mr. Stewart is there, and, he knows what's happened. And I thought he was really good this week, actually, because, John does his head in, let's face it. They're not the best of friends. But I think Mr. Stewart was really, Mr. Stewart likes fairness, which is why he was so upset, wasn't it, with the whole thing? Because he was like, I don't think he's being treated fairly. And he is that kind of guy. And if he doesn't think John's treated fairly, if he doesn't think anyone's being treated fairly, no matter how he feels about that person, he will say, I don't think that's right. And he'll
He even says that, doesn't he? He says, what I don't like is unfairness, and that's why I'm standing up for it,
Yeah, and I think he'd do that with anybody. So it's just proof that, that's his nature, isn't it? Even if he doesn't really like John very much, he wouldn't let him be thrown to the wolves and be treated badly. He would go, no, that's not cool. I'm not a big fan of the guy, but that's not fair. That's what I quite like about Mr. Stewart.
I liked that as well, but don't blame John for not trusting it, given the history.
No, exactly. You because John, let's face it, John gets shouted at by Alf every day. He knows he's not Alf's favourite person. So, although Alf's saying all this, and we know that Alf's fair dinkum, and I believe him, but John, I can understand why John's nervous and wants to actually have his own, anybody would want to have their own say, surely. Like if someone came to you at work and said, someone's put in a complaint about you and we're going to have a meeting about it, but you can't come, and we're going to decide, what we're going to do with you. You'd want to be in the room, wouldn't you?
God, yeah, go straight to the union rep.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You would, wouldn't you? You'd be like, no, you're not having a meeting about me. We're going to decide what I've done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without me saying my side.
Yeah, and they're only listening to Simon Henderson's side because he's got the fat wallet.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Not fair. And if this is how these places are run, I don't blame him for what he did next.
No, I don't. And do you know what I was thinking the whole time? I was like, okay, so this guy's spending loads of money, sponsorship or whatever, but they've just had that whole massive advert for the surf club in the Coastal News with that, you know, Lifetime Achievement Award for Mr. Stewart. Surely they can get another sponsor from someone.
That's true. With
all that good PR they've just had, and they can't find another sponsor.
I actually thought at one point Irene was going to put her hand in a pocket.
Oh.
That would have been nice, wouldn't it? Oh, well, they can't be rolling in it with Diana, can they? But she must be sitting on a pile.
I don't know. Honestly, don't know with Irene. Honestly, don't know. Why is she still working? Why does she still work?
She does it for the lols, clearly.
Obviously.
The committee goes ahead without John, and Alf comes out and tells him the news. Look, you are not losing your job, but you are not allowed to teach nothing, no bronze medallion, no nothing, no life-saving teaching for Evs, basically. And he takes it really hard, bless him, because he said that's the bit about the job that's the most fulfilling, that he enjoys. You know, the rest of it is mundane admin things around the surf club. You know, that's the bit that really gets him out of bed in the morning. Mm. And he says, you know, without that, I'm not, what's the point? I'm not wanted. You know, if I can't do the job, I don't want to be here. And he packs it up and he gives Alf the key. Not before Alf says, you're being ridiculous. And he leaves and he quits his job there and then. And I must say, I know he's throwing his toys out the pram a bit, but I stand by him, and I think I would be, if I was, you know, if I wasn't worried, like, you know, like if I could afford to, I'd do the same.
Yeah, I know. I think it's really unfair. Like you say, they've taken away, not even disciplined him for a few months and said, right, you can't teach for a few months. Maybe we'll send you on a course about how to, you know, talk to people. You know, those kind of courses that HR sends you when you do something naughty, and they send you on a course and they say, right, go on this course and then think about your behaviour, come back and what have you. They've not done that with him. They've just said, you can't teach anyone ever again. And I just think it's so unfair based off one complaint when he's been doing this for donkey's years, never had a problem before. He's trained some really good people. I mean, look at Nico. He was absolutely useless when he started doing his bronze medallion, but actually he's ended up saving quite a few people's lives in the end, and was a pretty decent lifeguard, and that's down to John.
Does your track record stand for nothing round here?
I know. It really annoyed me, that.
It's peed me off. And it's a non-storyline, really. But it's really wound me up this week. It really, really... Yeah. And I'm getting defensive of John here. Mm. Because, he can be carried on like a galah, to quote Elf. But, you know, you can't dispute that he does a great job at that place. I suspect we're going to end up in a place where they can't live without him when he comes back, and he's going to be a nightmare. but I don't. I'm standing by him in his decision. It's tight. This just said, you know, if you've got money, you can get what you want, and people will just bow down to you. And it really pigs me off. Mm. It really does, because it's always a little man doing all the hard graft week in, week out, that suffers,
Like you say, they don't notice until that person's gone. So next week, when he's not been in his job for a few days, it will all start falling apart. And I love the fact that Mr. Stewart, he said, he was on the phone to someone, and he went, look, we don't have to accept his resignation just because he's resigned. And then he said something like, well, I'm still surf club president, so what I say goes, and hung up without saying anything. And I thought, I'm still fighting. You know, even though John's jacked it in, he's got his little box and he's walked off with his tail between his legs. No, I don't think this is over. I don't think this is the end.
Yeah, you're right, because he's not. He's refusing to accept the.
You
say so. Yeah, I suspect he'll be back.
Yeah, hope so.
Yeah, but good for him. He might get a bit of leverage with all his cronies. Justin, somebody else who's back. He's back from anger management, and it's over. He's over it.
I'm sorry. When was the last time? Okay, there was one episode this week where he mentioned anger management, community service, and the garage in one sentence. And I was like, this is the first time in absolutely ages he's mentioned any of these things. And we've just had them all. I was like, is he just checking them off on a tick list to say, look, I remember that I'm meant to be doing community service and anger management and that I've got a garage. I was like, what's going on? Has he been reading our tweets?
He even went to the garage.
I was laughing at that. And I was also laughing at the fact that this was when Theo was playing on his PlayStation with his blinky light on. And I thought of you.
Yes.
That was your doing.
I like to think it is, but
you got to be careful what you ask for now, because someone's listening.
I've got a bit weird. I'm looking around for a spirit now.
I'm in here on my own.
It's the spirit of Ailsa. She's come back for revenge. Well, I'm the love of his life. Me.
While you're here, can you do me a milkshake, love?
Oh yeah, I like a milkshake.
Anyway, we digress. He's back from anger management, so we've managed to cram all this back into the script just in time for his last sesh. So that was lucky for us. And he says, you know what, I'm going to make a slap up meal for me and Leah. So Theo, sling your hook. So off Theo goes, makes himself scarce, and then the phone rings and he's all like, what, an accident? And then it's the end of the episode. You're like, what?
I wasn't sure whether it was one of them calls at first. You know, like, have you had an accident in the last 3 years? We've got it in on our records that you've been badly injured and you're entitled to compensation.
Oh, Joe Pasquale on the phone.
Oh, dear. No, it wasn't that.
No, it wasn't. It was Leah. And she's gone and had a bit of a bump, hasn't she, at an intersection. He rushes to the hospital and Rosie's there mid-breathalyze. Very Kate Richards. Turns out she blacked out at this stage, is what we know. And there's no tests come back, no drugs, no alcohol. She's free to go. Don't know what's gone on. Justine's very apologetic. You know, I'll fix the car. Don't worry about it. And then she's all snapping at him like, I can't believe this. She even sees all the slap up meals, still has a go at him and goes to bed. I'm just like, Leah, really? She's losing my sympathy now. I know I wanted this, didn't I? I was saying to you, we need something from Leah. We can't just come back from this kidnapping factory thing. And carry on. I think we need a story for her, and I was ready for it, but this is starting to pick. It's the way she's treating people, particularly Justin is just rolling over. Maybe it's because he didn't quite understand what was going on with her. Maybe he's got his head in the sand a bit, don't know, but it's doing me head in.
Interesting, because Justin's doing my head in.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Because
this is the male and female perspective.
We're skipping ahead a little bit. I'll give you my insight as to why I'm annoyed with Justin. So eventually when they do talk and she says, like, I can't handle all of this because I'm not sleeping. Every time I go to sleep, I see you dying. I can't handle doing the wedding planning when I'm like this. I need to sort myself out. I need to get my head straight and then we can talk about the wedding, but right now I just need to postpone it and concentrate on me, and I'm sorry, but I just can't do it, blah, blah, blah. And the whole time she's saying all of this, he's just going, well, is it definitely just postponing it? You're not cancelling it. Are we definitely going to get married soon? He's just like, she's really stressed out. She's really cranky. She's had no sleep. And he keeps going, turning up to the diner and going, well, we are going to get married one day, aren't we? And I was just like,
he's insecure.
Oh my God. I know, but just give her a day, you know? just bother.
So it is written on her face, she's not getting married to him.
No, I know. I was just like, just give her a minute. He keeps turning up and going, well, we are going to get married one day, aren't we? We're going to get married one day. And I was like, just give it a rest. Just take it for now. Just go, okay, let's postpone the wedding and just go along with it for now. Because give her a few days to sort herself out. You know, and he suggested going to the GP. And I was like, yes, that's what we need to do. We need to go to see the GP. We need to get some actual help. Because Rose said the throwaway line this week, and she was like, if you're still struggling with the Vita Nova stuff, I was like, of course she's still struggling. A bloody blind Freddie can see she's still struggling.
Yeah, no, but she's none of her business, is it? And she, and you know what? Leah had a go at her for a couple of weeks back for putting her nose in it, so she stayed out of it, hasn't she?
I know. But she did say, like Rose said, there's help available, and the police can offer you, like, helplines and put you in touch with agencies that can support you through that kind of stuff. You know, she's a victim at the end of the day, so they can offer victim counselling and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So she just needs to do some of that. And while she's doing that, I think Justin needs to stop asking her, when's the wedding, when's the wedding, when's the wedding? Because I'm gonna punch him.
No, I think he's panicking because, you know, she proposed to him at deathbed. I did get it when she said, look, you're better now. I'm still dealing with it. You were unconscious, you weren't there. You know, you didn't traipse across with donut lips across them. Imagining things, you know, she had to get him out, didn't she? Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I understand this is, most of his trauma was physical, although you could argue differently. I mean, he was still kidnapped and locked up.
You know,
he's surprisingly resilient to that. Mm. But you know, I get it. I do get it. She went through it. And that's not going away for her. She is still suffering. I get that completely. But also I'm a bit like, well, the guy's got it in the back of his mind here that you're going to pull out any second and his whole thing's going to be off. And he wants it. We're talking about Tani and Flick. It's a bit of a similar situation. He accepted that he went along with not getting married, but he made it clear he wanted to, but he was happy not to for Leah. And now that's those feelings about it have probably been resurfaced because of this proposal. But I tell you what, she wants help. Hello, someone take the espresso machine off her. She's never going to sleep making a coffee in the middle of the night. What on earth is she doing?
Ordering coffee beans while drinking coffee in the kitchen at 3 a.m. No.
That's why you're not sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to help you. But then is she too scared?
In the car, but in a red light.
Oh, don't. Is she too scared to go to sleep, though? Because when she goes to sleep, she sees him dying.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, she's stopping the nightmares, isn't she? She doesn't want the nightmares.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's a couple of drug dealers down Mangrove River that'll help you with that.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
With my faux pas.
Definitely an option she's not considered yet. It's just the way she's pushing him away. She's doing it nastily. And she's snapping at him in public. Then she's going to the, you know, when he's fixing the car at the garage, the car that she crashed into when she fell asleep. And then she has a go at him for that. And I'm like, that's his job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And actually, by him fixing it, it's probably going to appease the person you ran into half asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
I know. And can we just talk about the fact that she tells Rose that she ran a red light because she fell asleep, right? And she just gets a verbal telling off.
Oh,
and
I thought,
wait a minute, like, if I ran a red light here and because I fell asleep and I crashed into a car, and thankfully no one was hurt, she wasn't hurt, the other driver wasn't hurt by the sound of things, just the car damage, wouldn't I still get a driving ban for driving without due care and attention, or like a fine, or, you know, some, I'd get some kind of legal
points or something. Yeah, of course. I mean, she's voluntary banned herself, but...
Yeah, but it didn't seem to be going anywhere, you know, like... I don't see Rose writing a ticket or anything. You know what I mean? I was thinking, I don't know.
No, she's such a crap cop.
When she gave Alf a bloody speeding ticket.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
I'm sorry. What a bitch.
Alf was doing 34 and a 30 and she blew it.
What a bitch. I'm sorry. I'm not over that. 2 years ago, that was.
Oh, dear. Well, what we are getting, though, increasingly these days, because of this storyline, is Alf and Justin confiding in each other, aren't we? And I do, I don't know what it is. I do enjoy them scenes. I don't know why. I think them two being buddies, really, I don't know what it is. I just love it. It just warms me cockles.
I like any of those scenes, though, because we've had a few with them. We had a scene with Tani and Alf recently where he was like, blokes like us, we bottle up our feelings and we don't let them go. We don't know how to talk about them. And I thought that was really cute. The Justin stuff was really cute. And then we also had a scene with Mr. Stewart and Leah where she, you know, she blew up at him and then she apologised and he was like, it's okay, you've got a lot on your plate. And she was like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know who to look after. And he goes, you need to look after yourself. And I thought, oh, that's so sweet.
It is. Yeah, you're right, Alf. And that stuff we've missed from Alf.
Yeah.
In recent years. You're right. Now you say it, we're getting it with a few. He's becoming that pillar again, isn't he? Mm. It helps that he's in town. I think, which is the longest he's been here for a while.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, God knows what she's up to in Mirren Mueller.
I just imagine him just drunk off her face. I don't know why, but she's only wearing a skirt. And she's just painting sunflowers in the garden. And she's just off her tits, like dancing around, painting. Literally with her tits out.
Letting all her personalities come up.
I don't know why that's the first thing that came to my head. I think I need to see a counsellor. I think I've got issues. Oh my god.
So.
Martha, what are you like?
Oh, right. Well, there's a pin in the wedding and we'll love it things with Alf.
Basically. I'm off to Greece. I'll see you later.
Yeah, don't buy a hat. Don't buy a hat just yet. Now, Cash, he's not called or apologised to HQ for missing his suspension review. It seems like he's been hanging about with Flick and neglecting the rest of his life, doesn't it? And again, this is another sort of B story, but seemed to sort of pick up later in the week. Doesn't sort of answer the phone to Eden. Eden's sort of at a loose end with the band, so she's trying to get back in touch with him. And she speaks to Rose, actually, which I thought, this doesn't blow up into, why are you talking about me? Because I've not got time for that. Luckily, it didn't. But Rose basically says, you know, I'm worried about him. You know, he's going to lose his job. And this puts the wheelies up Eden a bit, really. And she tries to arm wrestle some time with him, but he's just literally glued to Flick, taking her hand to work and then sitting there all day while she does a shift, because heaven forbid she's an adult dealing with the consequences, despite her telling everybody in her path that she's dealing with her consequences, including a very stone-faced Xander, who in my opinion, in his right mind, is basically telling her to fuck off as much as you can tell your boss. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's staying there all day, and it's starting to frustrate Eden and pod host Si. I don't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just burying his head in the sand. I was just sitting there thinking the whole time. I was like, why is he doing this? Yes, it's Flick and Cash, and yes, they've got this like weird relationship where she messes up and he cleans up, and it's just how they are. But he never does it to the point where he sabotages himself. And yet he's that's what he's doing this week, and it's so annoying. And I just thought, I think he's probably decided in his head that he's not getting his job back, but he doesn't want to face that. So he's using Flick as an excuse to say, oh, I can't think about that because I've got my sister.
Yeah.
Feels like he's burying it. I'm like, come on.
The job, hasn't he?
Mm. Yeah. I think he's given up on it. I think he thinks, well, that's it. I didn't go to my review hearing. They don't care that I saved someone's life, and that's why I missed it. There's no chance I'm going to get my job back. But he can't deal with all of that. He can't freak out about that because I don't think he's got the strength to deal with that and deal with Flick. So he's just gone, I'll just concentrate on Flick and everything else can just go away. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I think you're right, actually. He's burying his head, isn't he? Being a bloke. I mean, that scene, my new favourite part of the set,
The sofa. Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that area. I just thought that's just what we need. And she takes him over there, and he's not. He's just not interested. And this set and flick. I'm like, she knows what she's doing. She comes running down the stairs, literally 30 seconds after he's walked down there with his girlfriend and said, I'll be back in 10 minutes. And you've gone and shouted him up to say his food's going cold. I'm thinking, do one. You are not a child. You're not a dependent of his, even if that's the way your relationship's gone over the years. You remember they lived on their own for a while. And like, it was a mess up, mop up type situation. But like, she's a business owner now. She's married, albeit in flames. You know, she's upstairs telling Xander she's taking responsibility. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you are. I don't think you are.
She's hiding behind Cash, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. And the only person that seems to be concerned for Cash is Eden. And now I'm worried because I quite like them together. And now I'm worried that they're going to have issues because there's been a third wheel in their relationship all the way through. Flick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And whatever happens, along she comes every now and then with some drama that gets in the way.
Yeah. Is it going to be worse now? Because she's been with Tane the whole time. Well, not the whole time, but most of the time she's been with Tane, hasn't she? Now she's essentially a gooseberry, isn't she? Because she's like, you know, that scene in Salt where Eden was like, can you come and talk to me for a minute downstairs? And he was like, yeah, sure, I'll come and talk to you. And Flick was like, oh, private smivet, do it up here. I'll bring you a beer, you know, stay here. And I thought, No. Now you've got no boyfriend. You want to hang around them like a bad smell.
Yeah, yeah. Barely spoke to them beforehand.
Yeah.
Oh, happy Larry.
She's one of them. She's like, oh, I've got no one else, so you have to spend time with me now. And I don't know how I feel about that. But what do you think about Eden and the way that she's dealing with it and the way that, do you think there's anything that you would do differently or do you think she's handling it?
No, I would probably do the same sort of thing. Try and talk sense into him, you know. She's doing it because she cares. What about you?
Yeah, I think the same. I was trying to think, like, is there anything that she could have done? But I don't think there is. I think she's done I think she's done similar to what I would have done, you know. I like the fact that she said to Remy and Kirby this week, you know, I just needed to play pool on my own for a minute because I'm angry and I needed to calm down. And I thought, that's what adults do. That, you know, when they're in a mood, they take themselves off and they go, oh, I know I need to calm down. I know I can't go in there and shout, you know, and scream at someone because I'm not a toddler. And I thought it shows us again how different the characters are, because Flick doesn't do that. She doesn't calm herself down and then have a conversation and go and talk to someone like an adult. She will go in a mood upstairs and just scream in someone's face.
And I like
the fact that Eden isn't like that. And she just went, I just needed a minute just to chill out because I'm angry, and then I can go and talk to him. And I thought, yeah, fair enough.
I agree. And we're not doing, because we've got a bit of a soft spot for Eden, haven't we?
Yeah.
And it's not because of that. It's because she's reacted. I see myself in it. Like, that's how I would probably handle the situation.
Me too.
Let me level myself before I go up there and do something I'll regret. Do you know what I mean? Or say something I'll regret. I tell you where we might see a bit of difference in that attitude with Eden is the whole Dr. Dishy. It was revealed, wasn't it, that because Remy recognised him at the hospital, which we'll come on to in a moment when he was talking to Bree. It was like, oh yeah, that's Levi, that's Eden's brother. So, I mean, we didn't even know Eden. Well, I didn't know Eden had a brother, did you?
I didn't until last week when I saw a spoiler.
it looked like it was news to Cash.
Yes, that was confusing at first, but actually, now that we know the full story, I can totally see why it would be news to Cash. So I get it. I think,
Well, the full story looked at it on first glance looked very serious. like, you know, staunch, you know. I can't speak to him. I can't look at him. I've got out my lip and I'm trying to get back in it because, like, the sight of him has made my gut wrench, thinking, what on earth is the story here? And I'm trying to puzzle, put the pieces of the puzzle together because I'm like, oh, she grew up in a in a thingy home, didn't she? A
funeral home.
Funeral yeah. home, and I'm trying to piece it all together. Oh no! When he does catch up with it, turns out that parents separated and he chose dad. What?
Yeah. So what I remember from this bit was that she was 15, he was 18, I think, or at least a few years older than her. Her dad had an affair, and the parents' marriage split up. She stayed with mum, and so did her sisters, which we didn't know she had sisters until she mentioned them on the episode earlier either. So she said, me and my sisters stayed with my mum, and my brother chose my dad, and he chose the wrong side, and now he's dead to me. So I was like, so she hasn't really been in contact with her brother since she was 15 years old, and she cut him off dead, you know. So now I kind of understand why, because people on social media were going, well, why doesn't Flick and Cash know Eden's brother, because they've known Eden for years? And I thought, no, they've only known Eden as an adult. That's why they don't know her brother, because she hasn't seen him since she was 15, if you take what she says tonight. Yeah. And because she said he's dead to me, I imagine she literally, you know, she's one of them girls that I can imagine that would be, you know, her truth. He's dead to me means I don't talk about him. I act like he doesn't exist. I never mentioned him. As far as I can say, I don't have a brother. And that's why, you know, she's never mentioned him to Kat. It is strange, but I can see her being that kind of person.
Can you? Because I'm struggling to get on the side with that. 15's quite a mature age. And because I'm thinking of my own sort of parents splitting. I was 8.
Yeah.
I could probably understand, you know, and then I'm thinking if my brother went and lived with my dad.
Yeah.
I never spoke. There's no way we'd have made it to what age we are now without sort of thinking that was a bit stupid.
Yeah. I can see that. But I do know people that have done this in real life.
Do you?
Yeah.
Even as adults, then they're still like, I can't speak to you. They can't. Yeah. Oh, I don't understand that.
I do. Not in my family, but certainly my friends. I've got a friend who, bit of a long story, and I probably shouldn't air it all on here, but his mum basically ran off with someone else in the middle of the night and took her young kids with her, including my friend. So he didn't see his dad, or his dad had other kids as well from a previous relationship, didn't see them for years. And then when they were old enough, when the kids were old enough to choose and they could go and find the dad again, some of them chose the dad and some of them stayed with the mum. And that was it. Never saw each other once they'd chosen a side.
I tell you what it does prove, though, that stories like that proves that when a marriage breaks down or there's a split and there's children involved, the effect on them is more than you initially think. Isn't it? They hear things, they form opinions, they grow up with them opinions then, don't they?
Yeah.
And then that informs decisions later on in that case that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just a bit like, she was 15 in Eden's case, and I'm like, that's not, like, you're old enough to sort of think, fuck off to dad's then, you know, like... I'll speak in about 3 years. You know, like,
I
don't know. Maybe we don't. Maybe we'll learn a bit more about.
Yeah. But is her lifestyle that of a normal, however old she is, 30-year-old? Because
the thing with
Eden is she comes across as very mature compared to the other people on the show, compared to Flick. You know what I mean? Compared to some of the other band, compared to Kirby, I think she seems more mature. But then actually, when you compare her to another adult of her age, similar age, is she as adult as we're...
Well, that's true. She's not. She's living in a share house with bands with no money.
Yeah, and just doesn't want to get a job. And
all very, like, uni, isn't it? You know,
it is a little bit 50. It's like, in some ways, she's still 15 years old. You know what I mean? So is it out of character for her to still act a bit immature sometimes, even though most of the time she has got more of a level head than the rest of them? I still don't think she's as mature as Theo, for example, who is meant to be much, much younger than she is. So,
and isn't he, Theo? His dad beat that into him.
we shouldn't joke.
She's very complicated though, isn't she? I think.
Yeah, she. Yeah, you've got me thinking now. Actually, I'll come back to you. You've got me thinking.
I still think it's childish. I still think that at this age, yeah, she probably does need to confront it and think, why am I still if I'm still angry, why am I still so angry all this time?
I just think it's a lifetime ago that let's you know.
She hasn't dealt with it, has she, by the sounds?
Anyway, of all the hospitals in all the land, he's come to that one. Mm-hmm. As luck would have it. Bree's been there a lot as well. Well, be there in between shifts at the lighthouse. Bemmy's not seen much of her.
No.
And turns out she's not actually been going to work some of this time. Because he mentions it to Xander in passing at the Surf Club, one of the episodes, and he's like, "Oh, we had pizza and watched a film all night." I don't know.
Oh no, that was so funny. Xander,
is that supposed
this
to be an impression of Xander? Stop pizza.
I think it's much, much more callous than that. Xander's had me in stitches this week. He just gives he gives zero fucks this week. Like the way he was with Flick, you know, when she was like, "Sounds like you don't need me at all." And he was just like, said nothing, didn't he? And I was like, oh. And then with the whole Remy thing, he was like, oh, does your housemate get any sleep? You know, have you seen Brie this week? I don't know what you're on about. We had pizza and watched movies all last night.
Yeah, rather than like thinking, oh, shit, she's lying to him. I'll just say something, I'll say something vague.
He just doesn't care. He's like, I'm not covering for no one. I'm not lying to your face to make you feel better, Flick. And I'm not lying to you, Remy, to save your feelings. I'm just going to say what I like. I've actually really respected Xander this week.
Yeah,
I like this Xander.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a good, he's good crack this week.
Yeah,
he's channeling all the viewers.
He's us.
He's channeling the viewers. He's like, everyone, you shut up. You this. You, yeah, she lied. Why is she lying though? What's going on here? So obviously he speaks to her, doesn't he? Because he sends that text and then she says, oh, sorry, sounds busy. So he grabs her, doesn't he? What are you laughing at?
Your impressions are hilarious. Sounds busy.
I'm sure he said that. Sounds busy.
I'm washing my hair. She's got so much hair. You know what I mean? That's a legit excuse, I think.
Yeah, that's at least 3 nights.
Oh, wow. It's hours in the shower, that hair. Yeah.
And she's drip drying her shirt so they don't shrink.
God forbid they fit.
It's the trend.
I know, but so I don't like it.
He says to her, doesn't he, you know, look, like, I know you lied. What's going on with you? Like, why are you lying to me? And it was about this whole 35 years combo with the in-laws last week. Even though that seemed to end well, she had the fear of God put in her because she saw her future, didn't she? And I'm not being funny. If that was your future, what you got? If you got to complain about, you've
that's
got all
not,
that money coming.
That's
to you.
Not their future. Well, that's not even their present, is it? Come on, he hasn't got a penny to rub together.
Well, I've been rubbing my hands at that house, thinking, how old are you?
How old are you? How much is this place worth? How much mortgage have you got left on it? Yeah.
But she's had a bit of a moment, and she's thinking everything's going a bit fast. A rock band boyfriend, and she feel, you know, remember she's come out of this really long abusive relationship in her 20s, and she's, you know, she went through all medical school, it's all been a bit serious. So she wants a bit of fun in between every, you know, all the residents of the bay's heart attacks. She wants to squeeze in a bit of fun. So he was just a bit like, okay, cool, like, you know, like, but he, I just don't get it.
I don't get it. Of all the people you can tell that you want to have fun to and you don't want a serious life, surely Remy's the first person that would understand that.
Yeah, he'd be like, come on, get on my bike.
Yeah, let's go somewhere. He's not the most serious guy in the world, is he? And also, okay, so she's saying all work and no plays made me really dull and I want to have loads more fun. So what I'm going to do I'm going to ignore all of your text messages and say I'm at work. And actually, what I'm going to do is let my hair down, have a night in with Xander, watching films and eating pizza. What?
Living life.
Living the dream. Sorry, I didn't get it at all.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, look, a couple of months ago, it was, I'm going to move in and pay the bills. Well, very, very dangerous, that. Very dangerous. Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
But it's a bit mixed. It's a bit sloppy, this. Like, where's this come
from? I'm hoping that it means that we've got a storyline for Bree on the horizon and that she'll get some screen time that's not about a man.
Well, you know why I mean? Does she need that?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. She needs her own. Not Bree the girlfriend, not Bree the doctor, but Bree whoever she wants to be, you know, whatever it is that she wants to go off and do. She needs that, doesn't she?
Absolutely does, yeah. And we need to see it, because she sort of arrived, killed somebody, and then disappeared.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Didn't she?
She arrived, killed someone, and then went to work. That was it.
No, she wasn't seen for 6 months.
Yeah, true. Right, so it's that time again. It's time for your say on the bay.
Love Ready? This time. Love it.
We need it now, don't we? Just to get through, get a few laughs and a few other people's comments and stuff, because we've just been raging about how we feel about everything that's happened this week. So let's sort of chill and listen to what everyone else thinks for a minute. So obviously I've been digging through social medias, reading comments, looking at your reactions, the people that have watched Home and Away in the UK this week, and I've selected a few. I'm going to read them out to Si, because I don't think you've seen some of these comments this week, so some of them might be new. Before that though, a quick reminder that we are on social medias ourselves, so look out for Coastal News Podcast or Coastal News Pod on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Twitter, etc. We tweet along with the show while we watch it at 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday on Five Star in the UK. So come and find us, join in the discussion, jump on that Home and Away hashtag and give us your thoughts.
Yeah.
What right. she said.
What she said. Okay, I'm going to give us a bit of a break, guys, because for the last 2 weeks, it's been very heavy. You all said the way with Flick and Tane. So okay. I've decided to skip them for this week and give us all a break, because I think the last couple of weeks have been a bit heavy and a bit deep, and I think we need something a bit more shallow to start with for this week.
Right, okay. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
We've had a heavy week, haven't we? So
yeah.
We would like something shallow. So let's start with, obviously we've got a new character in the bay, Dr. Levi Fowler.
Dr. Dish
that we talked about on the main podcast. So what do people think of him? What do people think? Let's find out. So on Facebook, this is quite funny, this made me laugh. On the Facebook Home and Away UK page, there was a video they put up of Dr. Levi doing his thing, you know, in the hospital, talking to Mac about how he's a great cardiologist or whatever it was. And they put, as the, you know, the sort of text on the video, they put, Dr. Levi is here and he's not beating around the bush.
Okay.
Thought, here we go. And then the first comment I saw was from someone called Laura.
Oh, no.
You know where I'm going?
Yeah.
So Laura on Facebook said, he'll be beating around Mac's bush soon. I think we needed a laugh this week, so I thought, thank you, Laura. You've provided the comedy there. Love that.
Thank you.
Brilliant. But it's all good news. It's all good news for Levi. First impressions of him with everybody has been really, really positive. So everyone's saying he's cute. So Sheila says he's cute. Adele says, what a hottie. Rosie on Twitter says Levi's a hottie. Caroline says, handsome doctor. Diane says, absolutely gorgeous. Lots of comments of the same thing. Sheena says, gorgeous man. June says, nice.
Just nice.
Just nice.
Nice doesn't... Come on, you do better than that, June.
Nice. Nice is like a cup of tea, isn't it? Oh, how's your tea? Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. Even, actually, I'd say lovely for a cup of tea, but there we go. You know what I mean? It's a bit...
You and your repertoire...
underwhelming, but nice, you know, it's positive. Julie on Twitter said, we needed a new character, so looking forward to what happens. So yeah, I think that's the
good
same
point actually. Yeah, get some fresh blood in and let's see what's going on. There's obviously beef, or as we said with Eden.
Yeah,
has anybody mentioned his voice?
have I jumped the gun here? Because
oh no, what are you thinking about his voice?
Well, I would honestly let him read the phone book.
Fair enough. Is it the accent or the timbre of his voice?
It's a full package. So
full package. Oh, I haven't noticed. I'll have to go back and listen.
It's a deep, you know, it commands the room.
Does it?
Go back to clip later. Yeah.
I have to. Yeah. I haven't noticed the voice, I'll be honest. So, okay, I'll have a look. So obviously a lot, because I said this was going to be the shallow bit, there's not a lot to go on with Dr. Levi yet. So a lot of these comments are about how he looks and that kind of thing, because that's all we've already got to go on so far. So talking about how he looks, Jamie said, do you think he looks a bit like Liam? You know, Liam that used to be with Bianca years ago before.
Oh, in the way, way back.
Yeah.
Well, he's a bit fairer, isn't he? But I guess he's got the sort of 5 o'clock shadow, hasn't he, in the...
Yeah, there's something similar about him. I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Liam's closer to a Remy type, though.
Do you? What, because of the guitar?
Well, you know, he had, you know, the rings and the...
Yeah, I don't...
The clothing, it was the jeans and the...
I think the personality and the, you know, the guitar and the kind of, yeah, the busking and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I get that. I don't think they visually look very similar.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of Liam, I'll be honest. Well, controversial.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, I didn't understand what everyone saw there.
No.
I mean, imagine if we were talking back then.
I know, we'd have stuff to say. For sure.
Yeah. I loved Bianca, though. I was very defensive.
Loved Bianca. All. Yeah, and I loved... I know you call him Keith, but I loved Heath. I loved him.
They were endgame, weren't they?
Oh, they were such a good pairing when they were going well. But yeah, when it went off the rails, not so much. But, and now, Homer's fans, I'd say, do you agree? We are a cynical bunch.
Yes.
cynical bunch. So there is some cynical, cynical comments about Levi, unfortunately. Vicky on Facebook says, he's definitely going to be bad news. Mm-hmm. Delma says, he's gorgeous, but I don't trust him. And Alice says, well, he certainly looks the part, but time will tell what lies behind that handsome profile.
Everyone's always dubious of the new one. We've been here too many
especially
times.
Especially the good-looking newbie.
Yeah.
We're cynical.
Hearts will break.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And then Sev on Twitter sent us a message. And said, I note that Levi is an anagram of evil, whereas Eden is a place of paradise. Interesting.
Hang on a minute. Okay, yes. Oh, my God, anagrams.
Mm.
Oh, what?
That's deep. I mean, I'm saying this is the shallow section, but that's quite deep, really.
It is, yeah. And now mine is racing. Wow, well spotted. I mean, really, I mean, it's going to be nothing. It's just going to be a math coincidence, isn't it?
But yeah, it's interesting, though. Like, I love little, like, theories and, you know, the writers are probably like, oh, we didn't even think about that. We just thought Levi was a cool name. But, you know, Levi and Eden, they are quite interesting names, aren't they?
Yeah, evil. A newborn, yeah, Levi, evil. After the whole book thing as well, like, I'm on... You know, like looking for stuff. So, okay. You've got my attention. You've got my attention.
Definitely interesting.
I love that.
So that was Levi. I think generally quite positive so far. But like I say, we haven't seen a huge amount from him. So perhaps next week.
What's the hate?
Maybe next week we'll get some different comments. But so far, so good. I think can't see anything bad. What about poor JP?
Oh no, I hope people have been kind.
Oh, everyone's been kind. There's not a person, there's not a person out there that is hating on JP this week. So everybody's been saying poor John, like Facebook was just littered with, oh no, poor John. You know, I could read out 100 comments that say that. Sharon's one of them, oh dear, poor John. You know, there's loads of comments saying the same thing. Stephen on Facebook says, I'm behind Palmer, job on the line because some son of a business owner that sponsors the surf club got told off? Question mark.
Yeah.
And then Francis replied to Stephen and said, Banjo was even more of a delicate little flower than I thought he was. And then she calls him a spoilt little brat.
Well, I said it myself. She took the words out of my mouth. I said the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier on in this episode, I completely agree, Francis and Steve.
Francis gave him a right serve. She said he's gone off running to daddy, crying about the nasty man who told him off, spoilt little brat. I bet he only joined the bronze medallion life-saving class to show off to his friends.
And he always gets what he wants, clearly. He's never wanted for nothing, has he, Banjo?
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. John on Facebook says, a flaming committee mongrels.
John, not the John.
John, not the John. Yeah, different surnames. Flaming committee mongrels.
Yeah. You can imagine. Do you know what? You can picture what they were like, can't you?
You can, yeah, absolutely.
Sitting around a big table up in Salt with...
Just thinking about the money. Just thinking,
big old men.
We want our Christmas party, so we're going to have a sponsor.
Or smoking.
Yeah, even though it's a surf club, life-saving. Julie on Twitter wants to know, what's he going to do now? He's resigned.
Well, Julie... You've heard it here first. I suspect he'll be back. He'll be hot-footing it back before long. We can't not have... He's synonymous nowadays with the surf club. So I don't see it happening soon. He might be at a loose end for a few episodes, maybe.
He's going to be hanging around the diner like a bad smell, isn't he?
Well, that's true. Yeah, and there's going to be widespread, you know... rallies to get him back, to get his job back and get out of everyone's feet, something like that.
Yeah.
We might find out tomorrow in First Look, Julie. Stick around.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I want to hear about that. Yeah, good point. Mr. David is on Twitter saying, Alf is lucky JP is such a saint. Alf does not deserve his loyalty.
Ooh. Yeah, I can go with that. You know the whole John Alf debate. You know what side I'm on. Yeah,
I know. I know. I get it. I can see both sides, but you know, I've got a soft spot for Mr. Stewart. He is just a grumpy old granddad, and I get it.
He's done all right this week, though. We'll give him his due.
He has. He's made me a little bit choked up this week. Bless him.
Yeah, he's come good.
Yeah, he's trying. He's trying. Bless him. And his own Mr. Stewart. You know, we say he's alphaed it. He's definitely alphaed it a bit this week. So
yeah.
And then Jamie says, it's Gerald who screwed over JP, isn't it, that faceless bastard? Jamie on Twitter, cracking it up again for the 53rd week in the row.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Love it. We have actually seen Gerald on screen, but I didn't remember it. I saw it on Back to the Bay website, and there was a picture of him in an episode a while ago, a long time ago. But I don't actually remember him. But we have seen his face. But whether that's the same Gerald nowadays, you never know, do you?
Yeah. Head transplants. I do find a silent character quite endearing. There's something about it.
Especially on Homer's. We've had so many.
Yeah,
We still talk about Madge Wilkins, and she's probably been dead 20 years in the show.
I mean, she's a legend. Never seen the last.
Ledge. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. I love that idea, because what that does, it makes you think that the world, this fictional world, is sort of a bit wider than it is. Yeah. It's probably what it is.
Yeah, we love it. Okay, so that is JP and Banjo. JP versus Banjo. What about Leah then? Are people, because I was reading some comments about Leah a little while ago after the whole kidnap drama, and I said, oh, do you think people are sympathetic towards Leah? And they weren't really, were they? Do you think the tide has changed? Do you think people are more sympathetic towards Leah now?
I don't know, you know, because we've sort of fallen on opposite sides of the fence, haven't we, when we were talking earlier.
Yeah.
So I'm inclined to say no, but that's because that's my position. Go on, hit me.
Well, the question I have for you is, do you think of a lot of the comments I'm going to read out now are what you opened my eyes to recently about how everyone is not always a huge fan of Leah? And actually, there's quite a lot of people that don't love her character very much. And I'm wondering whether some of that, and it's the same with the flip comments that we've had the last couple of weeks, when you don't really like the character, are you even less sympathetic with them when they're going through something shit?
Definitely informs your opinion, doesn't it?
I mean when they're going through something shit and they're acting like a bit of a twat, you know what I mean? Like, you, if it was somebody that you love, you kind of go, well,
you forgive it, don't you?
Yeah. But if you're acting like a bit of a twat and then you don't actually like them, you know what I mean? I think it tips it over the edge a bit, doesn't it? So I'll read you some comments. So on Facebook, I'll start with Facebook. So brace yourself. God. Okay. On Facebook, we've got Tina, who says, I'm getting sick of moaning and groaning Leah, always whinging about something. Yes, she went through something difficult and horrible, but so did Justin. She just needs to stop blaming him and taking it out on him. She's pushing him away, pushing everyone away, and they're only trying to help her.
Can't I grumble with that, personally. Apart from, you're sort of dismissing there, Tina, what she's gone through, really. And comparing it to being the same thing as Justin, and we have to listen to her. She was conscious and had to deal with it.
Yes,
he didn't. So,
you're
probably comparing apples and oranges. But I do agree that she shouldn't be pushing him away.
No, yeah, she's taking it out of the wrong people. But you do that, I think, don't you? I think you do that when you're going through something. You tend to take it out on the people nearest to you, just
so annoying when she's doing it.
I know, and I think that's the problem. I think people are annoyed by her already, and now it's like a double down on the annoying. Susie says, Leah's really getting on my nerves. Yes, I understand what she went through was horrendous, but to tell Justin he was lucky as he was just lying there dying while she went through the ordeal. Yeah. There's a lot of people saying this. Mag says, Leah is getting on my nerves. She's never happy.
I agree. She's pushing my buttons at the minute. You know, I can't really. I've nothing to come back on because, like, this is how I feel.
Yeah, I totally get it. I can see it.
And all along, I'm thinking, there was a ladder there all along.
Yeah, she. Oh, I know. They didn't look around the room very well, did they? Yeah. Anyway, Sonia says they went through that, went through all that together, sorry, and she should be with him, but instead she's shutting him out. Well, yeah, that is what she's doing.
You should be feeling fortunate that you've still got him, actually. Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, I'd not thought of that.
Yeah, they went through it all together, but, you know, it's not brought them closer together. It's brought them further apart, hasn't it, unfortunately? Yeah. Julie says there's always lots of drama where Leah is concerned. She should get an Oscar for the best drama queen. soap Oscar. That'll be the day. Love it.
We'll settle for a Logie.
Yeah, that'll do. Yeah. Logie drama queen. Christine, oh gosh, everyone's saying the same thing. Christine says Leah gets on my nerves. She can be so nasty the way she speaks to her friends and Justin. Belle says that she hates how she's messing Justin around. He deserves better. Interesting.
But I don't think he'll see it that way.
No. And Lorraine says she's the biggest pain in the ass on the show. And no, Jean says on the show. There's a few contenders, isn't there?
I'm going to say, yeah, let's just calm it a bit.
But yeah, that's Lorraine's opinion. Jean says she's a pain and a total attention seeker. Yeah. I can see why people think this. We have a comment from Pauline, the famous Pauline.
Hang on, I'm going to sit up.
Sit up. Actually, you need to help me translate this because some of this I'm not sure I understand. I'll break it down. Okay, so first we've got, she demanded it, she organised it. Now everything is his fault, .. cheese on bread. I got it up to the cheese on bread bit. Is cheese on bread like a Cockney thing? Like a rhyming slang? What does it mean? Like, I'm brown sorry. Bread is dead.
expect you to say cheese on bread. How random. Right, sorry, go from the top.
Okay, ready.
She's commanding.
Are you ready? We need a minute to try to just, you know, just translate this into Sophie and sign language. Okay, so she demanded it. She organized it. Now everything is his fault. ... Cheese on bread.
Right, cheese on bread aside, maybe a dinner. Maybe she'd fancied something to eat.
I just wondered whether it was a Cockney rhyming slang thing. You know, like brown bread is dead. And I thought maybe cheese on bread means like, I don't know. I can't think of anything that rhymes.
Nearly dead. I don't know. What was she commanding and organising her, though? I don't get it.
I don't know. This is the thing with Pauline. She's very cryptic. So
is that all she said, Harry? Is there more?
No, there's more.
Oh, go on.
Okay, so the next line is, after the cheese on bread, we've got misery. I knew you were going to laugh at it.
Sorry.
It's distracting. Misery is catching. It's travelling the world. Mm-hmm. Very, very cryptic. I feel like this is, you know when you go to a Chinese restaurant and you're drunk and you get the thing at the end with the fortune cookie and they get the little bit of paper and you can't understand it? I feel a bit like misery.
I feel like she's bringing blooming Israel into this.
Oh, God. I think
she's
it's
like deferring to world misery here.
No, it's not that deep. It's just Home and Away. It's not that deep. Okay, misery is catching, it's traveling the world. Okay, so Home and Away may be causing problems in the Middle East. Is that what we're saying? I don't know.
Leah has single-handedly destabilized the Middle East.
She's traveled the world on the seven seas with her misery. Oh, my word. And then we've got one last line from Pauline, which I don't agree with, Pauline. I'm sorry. And she says, cheer up, for God's sake, you're in a soap. Now, I think the least cheery place you can live in is a soap most of the time.
You don't know how lucky you are, you're in a soap.
Well, it's like, I'm sorry, but soap life is hard. You know, you get poisoned, you get stabbed, you get shot, you get kidnapped, yeah. You get killed. You're going to witness protection.
Impaled by a rod.
Exactly.
You've got it good, Pauline, love.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I think you can be miserable in a soap because I think it warrants it sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's not all doom and gloom because there were a lot of comments that were you know, loving Justin and Leah together and saying, I hope this is not the end. I hope they do get married one day. So Sarah on Facebook says, I love Leah and Justin together. And Andrew said, don't split them up. I love Leah and Justin. There were lots of comments like that as well.
Oh,
so,
yeah. To be fair, they are a good couple. I think they do suit as a couple, to be fair. So hopefully this isn't sort of make or break for them, because that would be upsetting to watch, really. Hold me in your arms, don't let me go. I want to stay forever. Closer.